Welcome to the Defend the Fort podcast, a product of the Tigers Sports Network and Eagle Radio.
It's over. Fort Hays has won the national championship.
This is Gerard Welbrock, and we appreciate you joining us as we visit with current and former Fort Hays State Tigers.
2 seconds, 1 second, that's going to do it. The Fort Hays State Tigers are national champions. Fort Hays State national champions.
The Defend the Fort podcast is brought to you by Diamond R Jewelry on the Bricks in beautiful downtown Hays. Snap is low, the hold down, the kick is up, it's got enough distance, will it get through? It is good!
It's good!
He hit it! 56 yards! A career long for Dante Brown, and we go to overtime! The Defend the Fort podcast is brought to you by Diamond R Jewelry. Dustin Roach is a proud Fort Hays State sponsor and reminds you to check them out. They're on the Bricks in beautiful downtown Hays. They've got the largest selection of wedding and engagement rings. They'll take you through the process. They'll make it simple, and you will leave with the ring of your choice and the ring that you'll be cherishing for the rest of your life. Shop a local business that supports Fort Hays State University. They're the Diamond Broker of Kansas, Diamond R Jewelry in downtown Hays. They're online at diamondkansas.com. When it comes to track and field and cross-country coaches, you can make the argument that Fort Hays State has had two of the best there ever was. Obviously, starting with the legendary Alex Francis. But Jim Crumb has been equally impressive as track and field coach of the Fort Hays State Tigers. 6 Rocky Mountain Athletic Conference championships. 6-time RMAC Coach of the Year. In fact, in 2001, the NCAA Division II Coach of the Year. Crumb was voted the top track and field coach in the 100-year history of the RMAC. He's a part of the Kansas State High School Activities Association, the Rocky Mountain Athletic Conference, and the Fort Hays State University Athletic Sports Hall of Fame. Former Tiger coach Jim Crumb, our latest guest on the Defend the Fort podcast. Well, Coach, we certainly appreciate you taking a little bit of time to join us here today. Like I just kind of mentioned, it's not often a track and field program has two Hall of Fame caliber coaches, but you look at Fort Hays State, obviously Alex Francis left his indelible mark on the cross country program and his time, and you certainly have left your mark on Fort Hays State track and field. Has to be a lot of accomplishment, a lot of sense of accomplishment when you look back at your time as head coach at Fort Hays State.
But when you get to be an old man like I am now, you look back and say, gee whiz, I was fortunate. I had very, very good people around me and very good people performing for me. And of course, I always idolized Alex. Alex was sort of the mark you had to live up to when you came to Fort Hays State.
Yeah, no doubt about that. And he is certainly one of the most legendary coaches, not only at Fort Hays State, but you can go throughout the region and I think even the country. I've been asking when I get a former student athlete about their journey and how they got to Fort Hays State. You had success in the high school level. You were a successful coach at Bethany and then took over the Fort Hays State program. Maybe a little bit about that process and why you made the move from Bethany to Fort Hays State and what went into all of that.
Well, the good Lord's been good to me, and we had some really good people. When I was in the high school level, we had some studs up at Jewell High School. We won the state up there, had some great kids. And then moving on to Russell, we got that program going a little bit. Never had as much success there, but I was fortunate to know George Stevens, who was the basketball coach at Bethany. and I coached against him when he was at Lincoln High School, and I was a Jewel. And he got me into Bethany to get a program started, and he promised me I could coach baseball, because that's what, you know, that's been my thing. And we got there, and as soon as I got the program, they said, well, you got to coach track and field first year because we have a baseball coach. I said, okay. And that was a term that I really enjoyed the rest of my life, because once I got started there, he wouldn't let me quit the track program. He made me stick with it, and I thank the good Lord he did, because I've been pretty lucky.
Isn't that funny how things like that happen? You know, you go to be a baby, and then obviously it springboarded you. You won seven straight KCAC titles and kind of set you on your way to the collegiate level.
Well, it sure did, and it helped with the people we had. You know, Dennis Weber was an outstanding sprint coach for us, and then, you know, he took over after I left, but I was fortunate to have some really good people working with me, and you know, that's all it is. You just point them in the right direction and give them a pat on the back once in a while, or a kick in the butt, whichever they need, and they get things done. That's what it's all about.
Now, talk about the program. Obviously, Fort-A State had some of their greatest success, maybe since the Alex Francis days. When you were here, you were six-time Coach of the Year in the RMAC, and your men's team, six conference titles, and the women won a conference crown in that stretch as well. I mean, you had some really, really good track and field teams. And at the time, the Rocky Mountain Athletic Conference was a really, really good track and field conference.
Well, they had some, you know, Joe V. Hill up at Adams State had a program going forever, and Western State was good. So to survive, you had to get some good people. And one of my philosophies is always to take local kids if you could do it. And that's what we try to do, recruit local kids, and then people get interested in your program. And, you know, we were so fortunate with Dennis coaching our sprint teams, our 4x100 especially. There were four kids within 60 miles of Hayes that won the national title in that thing. So that really helps out.
I was just going to ask you about that. It's funny because you mentioned the local kids, and I know that was always your thing. And then you'd obviously expand the recruiting area as it was warranted and as interest was shown, but that was kind of the core and the heart and soul of your track and field teams. But that relay team, I mean, you look at it, what you had, Joaquin, you had Hill City. I mean, they were all in the area. I think there was a local Hayes kid on that. And I know
Clifton Clyde.
Yeah, there you go. And I know they opened some eyes when you got on the national stage, these four guys, and the times they did. That was quite a feat and really fun to watch those guys run.
Well, you know, one of the funniest things that I remember from my career, and maybe I'll get in trouble for saying this, but we were down in Raleigh, North Carolina with that 4x1 team, and our kids had a good qualifying time. And this announcer was a big old guy, great announcer. And we finished our qualifying time. He comes on the mic and he says, "Ladies and gentlemen, did you ever see four white kids run that fast in your life?" And everybody just broke up and laughed. And then the kids turned out and they did win the thing later. So it was, that's quite an accomplishment, especially for area kids, good old slow white Kansas kids that came through there.
Well, I think that was probably one of the marks of your program, how you developed some of these runners and track and field and the field performers. Not that they were poor coming in. Obviously, they had great accolades and had great high school careers, but you were able to kind of take that and your staff, not just you, I know, but take what
That's
they
right.
had and work on it. And by the time they were through your program, they were better, and a lot of them were competing at the national level.
Well, you know, it's just like Casey Seifert from over at Beloit. He came in here. He wanted to went to Wyoming, I think, to look at it, and then turned up and transferred here. And boy, what a career he had. And now I guess he's the principal at Beloit High School. That's what you look at. What do these guys do when they got through here? And like you say, Gerard, we always looked at numbers, because I figured if you get enough people once in a while, there's going to be a few that are going to come to the top of the pack. And we had great pole vaulters. Randy Stanley did a heck of a job as our pole vault coach. And we, again, had that was local kids, a kid from Russell and a kid from here. And, you know, that's what makes it fun. When people are interested in your program, when you got a lot of local kids, you know, I've got nothing against foreign athletes at all. They're great. But the thing is, you want local interests. You try to get local kids. And I know that's tough at this day and age to compete with local kids at the national level. Back when I was here, it wasn't quite as difficult. It made it a lot easier.
You mentioned Casey, and he was another one of the standouts. And I know I don't want to put you on the spot with, you know, some of the best that you've had, but he has to rank right up there. And the fact that he was a pretty darn good football player as well. He was one of those dual sport guys and didn't have a drop off in either football or track and field.
No, he was a great guy. And he went on to, well, he had did great things for our track and field program, was a great football player, and he's coached up there at Beloit. And I think he's got a young man now that's either a freshman or an eighth grader that's going to be just as good as his dad was when he gets done. But that's really what's fun. You know, you get these kids that, we've had the Hayes kids, it's just fun to have the local kids and have them do some good. And that works the interest, no question about it.
Yeah, certainly does. And you have did a tremendous job in doing that. We're visiting with Jim Crubb here on the Defend the Ford podcast, former track and field coach at Fort Hays State, Hall of Fame track and field coach with Fort Hays State. You mentioned some of the field events, and I think what always stood out to me in those years where you were winning conference titles in the Rocky Mountain Athletic Conference, you might win an event, but the depth you had, and it kind of goes back to the numbers, you might win an event,
right,
but you usually placed maybe three or four in, you know, I think a javelin. You mentioned pole vaults.
Yeah.
And in very different years what it was, but it seemed like you always had one or two events where you had a really good performer, but you had about four or five who were not that far behind, and you could place multiple people, and that made a big difference.
Oh, the javelin was a good example. You know, you'd have somebody, you had a good thrower, and that one year that we had three All-Americans in the javelin, and again, the local area kids. And the more you have, and they'll coach themselves, and, you know, it's impossible for a track coach to be ever were at one time when you've got 70 to 80 kids out running around like chickens with their heads cut off. It's good to have leaders. And when they got to be seniors, one of the things I always expected of the kids was to be a leader, to be almost like an assistant coach. And it sure worked out that way. We had some great kids.
Yeah, and that, I would think, to have a successful program is the key, because you can't be there like other sports where you are coaching them. And there's a lot of – it's such an individual sport, but yet comes together as a team sport, which makes it fascinating. But you can't be there, and you got to trust the student-athlete to get the work done and do what they need to do to be ready to perform on meet day. And it seems like, by and large, you had a pretty good group that did that.
Well, they did. And one of the things, Gerard, that really bothers me as I get older, especially, and I look at track and field programs across the country, everyone's trying to get that top athlete, and they've forgotten about the team aspect of track and field. And we always love the team aspect. You know, yeah, like you say, we score points. We may not win as many, but by golly, we would put fourth, fifth, and sixth were Fort Hays people in most cases. And, you know, that for a team aspect, and the stress of team aspect, that was always my idea, and it worked well for me. Now, this day and age, it just doesn't work like that anymore, because people work on their elite athletes and take them to all the big meets, and that's good. There's nothing wrong with that if that's your philosophy, but it wasn't my philosophy.
Well, you had a great run of track and field. I think 108 Division II All-Americans. We talked about some of them. You had some pretty good cross-country teams. Yeah, I think you had eight All-Americans on the cross-country side of things. And obviously, Fort Hays State's history in cross-country is legendary under Alex Francis. But you guys certainly held your own there as well. And again, at the RMAC level, maybe as difficult of a conference to run in as there was.
It really was. And Alex always had the good cross-country teams. I hated to compete against him when I was coaching at Bethany, because I know there'd be 4 to 8 people up ahead of our Bethany Swedes. But we always sort of looked at his program as a model to try and do some good. And if you look back at his kids, most of his kids were local people, too. He had a couple of foreigners once in a while, but mainly they were local kids and Kansas kids. And that's what that's sort of my feeling on it, and always was. Now, I know I'm getting old. I'm old-fashioned. And, you know, some of these ideas, I think we'd be better off if we did that today, you know. And I just like to give local kids a chance, give them to get the scholarships, give them a chance to develop, and it'll always come back to help you in the end.
We talked about running in the Rocky Mountain Athletic Conference. And I don't know if people can appreciate how difficult it was, because you had a lot of your meets, both cross-country and track and field. I mean, you had to go to elevation. What were the challenges in training here in western Kansas and then running in Alamosa, running in Gunnison, or anywhere, even in Golden, Colorado, where some of those meets were? That had to be tough.
It was terrible. Just plain simple terrible. You had to take it for what it was worth. You had to do what you could and not worry about it. We knew that cross-country-wise, those people from over there were always better, and they were such strong programs. Now, we had a little comeback on them, because whenever it came to springtime and we'd get a chance to host a meet here, we'd hope for a windy, hot, humid day, and those people would wilt like a flower. And that's what you had to try to even it up a little bit. But, you just had to take it for what it's worth. You know, I'd go out there to those meets, and I couldn't climb a set of stairs without pluffing. You know, I knew how they felt. It was tough. And we had some good kids in those times, but it just was almost impossible to do any good.
Well, that's why those teams from Adams State and Western did so well on the national level. When you're training in the elevation every day, it certainly makes a big difference. We're visiting with Jim Crubb. He's the former retired track and field and cross-country coach at Fort Hays State, six-time Rocky Mountain Athletic Conference Coach of the Year. And in 2001, you were named the Division II Track and Field National Coach of the Year. Quite an honor that coming at the end of that season.
That was quite an honor. And it was, you know, again, you reflect your team. And it was the kids that got me there. And you know, sometimes they say it takes a blind man to lead somebody to the right direction. But you just do the best you can and hope for the best. And we just happened to have some really good kids about that time. And like I said, mainly local kids, but they were competitors, and that's what counts.
I want to ask you about another athlete who ran for you, played basketball, Myesha Dybul now, but Myesha Pruitt, we talked about Casey Seifert and a few of the other guys. She was another one, phenomenal basketball player, great in track and field. She's in the Tiger Sports Hall of Fame, and you've had a lot of great All-American women who have performed in your program, but she certainly has to stand out near the top, just the accolades she had in both sports.
Oh, she was an athlete, and I tell you what, she won that the 100 hurdles, I think it was, at Emporia at the national meet, and the kids were all kind of really giving her a hard time afterwards, because they had to go to the picture to see who won, and the guys were all laughing. And again, I'll probably get in trouble, but they said, thank goodness she had a big bra, because she won by about that much in the national hurdle finals. And, oh, it was just a great thing, and she was such a competitor, almost a 20-foot long jumper, and a great hurdler and great runner, and what a good, just a good person, and a Kansas kid again. So there you are.
Yeah, no doubt about that, and I think, as you said, a lot of good people who've gone on to do a lot of great things since they ran and competed at Fort Hays State. I know you touched on it earlier. That's kind of the big picture, what the goal of all of this is, get an education, compete in your sport that you love, and make the best out of life when you get through with it, and you've had certainly your fair share who have done that. And I know you don't do this for the recognition. You loved it, but I mean, you look at the Hall of Fames you're in. You were in the Bethany College Hall of Fame. You're in the Kansas State High School Activities Association Hall of Fame, Tiger Sports Hall of Fame, and the Rocky Mountain Athletic Conference Hall of Fame. You and Gary Garner both inducted into the Hall of Fame as coaches at Fort Hays State. And you touched on just the great coaches that have coached. That has to be special for you to be honored by the conference as well.
Well, you know, Gary and I were honored at the same time, and that, again, that's a great honor, and it means that the people at least knew that you were doing something right, and the good Lord was on your side helping you out. So it's quite an honor. The one that surprised me the most was the National High School Track and Field Coaches Hall of Fame, because I didn't coach at that high school level that long, and it just, I think I made a lot of friends at the college level, especially in recruiting and helping out. And it's what people do for you that makes you good for them. So it's just a great honor. And then I look back, who knows how long I'll be around anymore, but I think I'm going to make 80. That'll be this fall, I hope. So we'll see.
Well, and then you were also named in the 100-year history of the RMAC top track and field coach, which kind of goes back to the stretch you had winning conference titles, a pretty cool feat. And it just neat to see the conference and everybody honor you in that regard, when you look at the history of the Rocky Mountain Athletic Conference, to hold that honor, pretty sweet.
Well, that is, especially with Joe Vigil in there, that he'd been there forever, mm-hmm. but he got, I think, the cross country coach. I was fortunate enough that one of my former graduate assistants was the head coach of Colorado College, not Colorado School of Mines. Yeah, one of those.
Colorado College, Colorado School of Mines, yeah.
Yeah, he was the head coach, and he sort of ramrodded that. And without Mark's work, that would have mm-hmm. never happened. He really got on that. That's still not the right college. It's the one up there in north, Colorado College of Colorado Springs or something like that.
Oh, CU Colorado Springs, yeah.
Yeah, that's the one up there.
UCCS, yeah.
I don't remember anymore.
Yeah, so. UCCS, yeah, which is close to Colorado College. They're not that far apart.
But we competed at Colorado College a lot, so. And then up there also.
And you mentioned the high school. One thing I think it was neat after you, and you still did it when you coached, but since you've retired, you've started a lot of races, both cross country and track and field, and it takes a special art to do that. And I know you've got a bunch of buddies who've done it as well, but you certainly have given back in that regard. One of those thankless jobs, kind of like refereeing basketball or football. You can't run right. the race without a starter, and you've done that a long, long time.
Well, and we're going to continue with cross country for a while. I think I pretty much told everybody I was done with track and field because my old legs get too tired. Get on that onion for 7 hours in a row. But I've been fortunate. I've got to start bullet relays a number of times. And a lot of college meets around here and try to help out the TMP and Hayes High and starting their cross country meets, providing they get to have them this fall. That was bad last spring. That just wasn't the right year without track and field. So hopefully things will get back closer to normal.
Yeah, we're certainly hoping so, and they can get back out there and compete this spring and get that year back they lost. I want to ask you about Jason McCullough, current track and field cross-country coach, and the great job he's done. He also ran for you. We always joke, maybe your best recruiting job, he came in as a wrestler and he ends up being an All-American runner for Fort Hays State.
Well, his brother was the same thing. Kevin and Jason were both great distance runners for us. Jason was outstanding, and he helped me coach. He had some high school experience. He's doing a great job with the program right now, especially with the distance people, because that's his area. And the young man from Scott City has been great under Jason's tutelage. And that's the things you look back and you say, hey, that young man's here because we got him here, and he's coaching here because he came to Fort Hays. And that's really satisfying.
And you made a really nice cross-country course on campus that was fan-friendly and a good place to watch a race. But what they've done now going over to Victoria and that course they run in and help maintain and do everything there, wow, that's top-notch and as good as you're going to find anywhere.
You bet it is. I think it's better than KU's. Joe, who owns that property, or Brungard, who owns that property, has done so much to develop that. And the only bad thing that I didn't like, which we had the advantage here before they started putting up 9 million buildings out here on campus, but you could watch our race from the walk bridge, pretty much see the whole race. Now you get out there to Victoria, you see them start, you see them finish, and maybe a mile, but that's not unusual. That's cross country, but that is that people come in here to run and they say, holy cow, what a nice racing area that is. And Joe has done so much. He's done a great job with that. He's built so many things out there. And, of course, Dennis with his timing system, he works most of the meets around here, and he's outstanding. There's nobody better at timing than Dennis Weber. And you can run as many people as you want. He'll get times for everybody.
And, you know, we've talked a lot about your staff and some of the student-athletes and the coaches you've worked with, but you have to go back to the administration, I think, too. Dr. Hammond, obviously, at president, and Tom Spicer, the athletic director. Usually if there's successful programs, there's people behind them, and I know they were big supporters in helping you keep that get that program rolling to where the heights you had it.
Well, Tom was a great supporter. So was Dr. Hammond. I mean, they just said, go for it. And Tom was backing everything we did. By the way, where is he now? Where's Tom at? Do you have an idea?
He's in Colorado. He's retired. But to tell you where, I don't know that I can answer that. I haven't talked to him for a while.
He was out of Mesa for a while.
Yep, for a while. And then I know he retired from that, and I'm not sure where he is now.
Yeah, I don't either. But he was what a supporter. And he'd say, go get them. Go do what you need to do. And just don't spend too much money.
As a true athletic director.
Well, that's right.
Well, Jim, I appreciate the time. Anything we didn't touch on you wanted to talk about?
Not necessarily. I just appreciate your support. You've been behind us all the while when we were here. When did you start here, Gerard?
I started, my first year was in 1992 doing color with Steve, and then took over the play-by-play in 02. So it's been a while.
I came in 87, so you were about 4 or 5 years after me.
And yeah, I was still going. I remember.
It doesn't seem possible.
I was going to school when you were hired. I remember that. And so if that dates us both a little bit, there you go.
Yeah. Coach. Well, I appreciate the opportunity, and I sure do. I'm thankful for the people that have been in our program, the people that helped us along, because, you know, you can't do it yourself. You know that, and I know that. And yet the people that get the most accolades are the people that are running the program, and they probably should get the least.
There you go. That's Jim Crubb, retired track and field coach, the Hall of Famer from Fort Hays State University, our latest guest on the Defend the Fort podcast.